Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got it on the field. He's got Drew. 35, 30.
Want to get no punt. Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. I'm Paul Dottino. Glad to be with you for the next hour at 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat as we talk to you, the fans, about Giants football, free agency, the draft. You want to talk old school? You want to talk about some old times? The other day, Jack Gregory's name came up. Please, by all means, I know a lot of the old-time folks, they don't get a chance to talk a lot of the old-school stuff. Some of the other younger fellows and ladies on our broadcast team maybe don't remember those times, so don't be afraid. This may be your time to give me a call. I'm solo today, as you can see. Nobody next to me. No Anita, no John, no Lance. It's a solo deal, so that means it's 1 hour between me and you. Let's go. 201-939-4513. Now, one of the things that I did want to bring up, and we were talking about this yesterday with Anita, is that Eli Manning was talking about how he believes the Giants offense can be that much better this season for a couple of reasons. One, because of the familiarity with the offense. Two, you hope some of the guys grow a little bit more in that flow of the offense. They've obviously added a weapon in Vereen. And then the other thing is you'd like to believe, okay, that Coach McAdoo and Eli will feel even more comfortable and confident in the improving, ever-improving offensive line as they continue to rebuild, and they'll be able to unleash more of the chapters in the playbook that they weren't able to release last season. So what I'm curious about, and one of the questions I guess I'd like to ask you folks, I kind of know what's in those closed-door areas of the playbook because I got to watch practice every day last year, and I saw a lot of stuff that I saw in training camp and during practice that you never saw during the games. So I kind of know some of the stuff that's kind of behind the curtain, if you will. But I'm kind of curious as to what you guys might want to see. I know that over the course of the years as we've been doing this show, there have been a lot of people asking about, well, where's the screen pass? You know, Tiki Barber used to run that bubble screen all the time. It was one of his, you know, bread and butter kind of plays. And then the screen basically disappeared from the Giants repertoire for the most part. You know, you might see it a couple times every once in a while with Bradshaw, but not much. And so that was one of the fans' favorite non-used type of plays that I'm talking about. Is there a particular play that you guys want to see the Giants offense use that you haven't seen last year in Coach McAdoo's first season as the Giants offensive coordinator? So it's 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat. Like I said, we've got you for an hour, so let's go right to the phones. Russ in Fort Knox, you're first on the program. Hello.
Hey, what's going on, Paul? Yo, I was overhearing the last couple of days about the conversation I have, so I'm going to say this loud and clear.
Okay.
I never said number nine pick should be a safety. What I said is all this Amari Cooper and White and Shakes, you're my boy, but listen, Paul, I'm going to back you up. Offensive line for the last time. Run the ball. The order for the Giants to win, we have to run the ball. We'll get Amari Cooper. Makes no sense. The most important person on the New York Giants right now is Eli Manning. If you cannot protect Eli Manning, we're done. If he gets injured, we're done. Offensive line. I want to see more running the ball. We got three running backs. Give him a chance. We get these three running backs starting. Sky's the limit. Run the ball.
You know,
offensive line. Boy, you're right. O-line. I'm listening to you every day. I'm like, O-line, O-line, O-line. We need one more offensive line, man. And we need a blocking tight end.
Do you know
how old school football works?
You know what I want you to tell your friends who disagree with you about the offensive line thing? Why don't you just give them some logical reasoning? Because everybody can have different opinions, and I get that. But why don't you play the logic game with them and say, well, listen, Eli Manning is getting older, so you don't want him throwing 35 passes a game because he will probably get the Dickens beat out of him. So you don't want to rely strictly on a passing game simply because of Eli's health. why don't you also tell them they invested some big-time money in Rashad Jennings last year because they expect to have a better running game? That's why they also drafted Andre Williams, who was, Heisman Trophy kind of guy, okay? There's a reason you drafted this guy, and there's a reason you gave Vereen a ton of money. I know he's going to wind up catching passes out of the backfield, but that's a lot of money invested in the Giants' offensive backfield. If you don't have a brick wall in front of them, what have you done?
Nothing.
Right.
And look at the Dallas Cowboys last year. They got O-line. Look how better Romo played. Offensive line. It's telling you right there what the Giants need to do. I'm not saying get a safety. I'm not saying get a safety at nine. But the offensive line is a safe pick. You protect Eli for the next couple of years, and you give Ryan Nassib time to develop more behind a great offensive line. Because you still can't trust the offensive line right now. Because what's his name just coming back from an injury, so you don't know if he's going to last that long. But you get a young offensive line, you're good. You got the next 10 years, a great offensive line, and likely playoffs.
Yeah, you're talking about Schwartz, by the way, coming off of the foot. And you're absolutely right. And I appreciate the phone call, and please keep listening. Thank you. All right, we'll talk to you again soon. Let's go right back to the phones. Let's go right through them today, folks, because I know a lot of people want to get on the line. Joe from Pennsylvania, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hi there, Paul. Happy Easter. I don't think you're here tomorrow, right?
No, so I'm off tomorrow, Joe. You too. Enjoy your holiday.
Yeah. I just want to mention a couple plays and then a question there. I didn't see a flea flicker for a while. I remember Terry Collins throwing that one deep to Amani Toomer. And I think a great one will be this year here for us here because of Beckham is so good, ends around and giving him the option either to throw it or run it the way he can throw the ball too. So,
well, you remember that time at the end of last season, I think it was in Jacksonville or Tennessee, where he threw the wide receiver option to Randall. And you know what? It was a heck of a pass. Now, there was double coverage and Randall couldn't get there. But, I mean, he can throw it. I would trust me when I tell you.
I says, we could do everything with him this year. I honestly do. I want to say, too, Paul, I did see this Daniel Jeremiah. I don't know. He just came out with his 10 top prospects.
Right.
He didn't have an offensive lineman in it. He had three wide receivers in the top 10, and he had that one cornerback, and Danny Shelton, and the two quarterbacks. And there was no offensive lineman in there, so I just wanted to say that. And my question and my one worryment is really that I'd like to see this year that I don't know if you looked at any of the backup quarterbacks.
Okay.
Because I don't believe if Nassif shows anything, our Eli is our rock. He's going to be there. He's going to be there, and he's going to be steady for 3 to 5 years easy. And I don't think Nassif's going to have a chance to play. And if he shows something, he's going to be gone, or we're going to have to pay some money for him or trade him. And I really think now is the time to look hard at another backup quarterback if they're worth it, because I know Dallas is going to be looking, and I know the Eagles. You know, Romo's up there at 35, and we're ahead of them. And I don't know if you looked at any of the backups and that. And like next year, I wouldn't want to where we have to be on a spot. Nassif is going to be up, his contract's going to be up, and then we have to be worrying about paying him. Is I really think we should take a hard look if there's a backup to draft them. That's
here's my one feeling. I want you to just bear with me 1 second before I let you go, Joe. I think, first of all, that Nassib made huge strides last year and made me a believer that he could be the Giants' number two QB. When he was here as a rookie, watching him at practice, there wasn't a lot of confidence being inspired right there, but he took so many leaps and bounds, especially in McAdoo's system, which he really seems to like. I think Nassib is pretty good as a backup.
I do too, Paul, but I don't think he's going to get a chance.
But having said that, though, Joe, here's what you have to understand, and this is very, very, very important. The Giants still think that they're retooling on the fly and that they'd like to be a playoff team this year. That's the goal. They really, you have to understand realistically every year as you go in, you have to know what you have, the holes you have, and what you think you can plug in there to give yourself a ceiling of where you might go. The Giants do believe that if everything falls right, they're a playoff team this year. If you do believe that.
I do too, Paul.
Okay,
and I said,
then you can't get rid of Nassib. then you have to keep
everybody
them.
That they have in there now is going to have experience. They ain't going to have to depend on this rookie class as much to jump in there or so, right?
Well, they
away.
Should all get better off of what they showed last year flashes, right?
Saying, did you look at any of the backup quarterbacks? That's all.
Well, all I'm saying, I will tell you, I have not scouted outside of Winston and Mariota. I have not scouted any of the other quarterbacks because they are off of my board entirely. I'm going to tell you that flat out because I believe in Nassib, and I think if the Giants were to lose Eli for a couple of weeks this year, to still maintain a chance of playoff competitiveness, they're going to have to lean on Nassib, and I think he can get the job done. So I'm not looking for another guy, and also I might add, Joe, I'm not looking to have three quarterbacks on the roster. I don't think the Giants are good enough to be wasting a spot on a third QB.
I hate that part too, Paul, but I'm just looking down the road because the Giants are ahead of the Eagles. They're ahead of the Cowboys. And if this Grayson or this other guy from UCLA shows something, I don't know if they're worth a third or fourth round that we pick ahead of them. I don't want to see one of them guys going to the Eagles or Cowboys and they turn out good. And then in a couple years, we don't have nobody. And there we could have had
Joe,
that guy.
I had one thing to you. I had one thing to you before I let you go because I do want to move along. I would add this to you. If the Giants, okay, are as close to being a playoff team as you'd like to believe, then they're going to need to hit on their first, second, third, maybe fourth round picks, much like with Andre Williams last year, fourth rounder. You cannot afford to be luxurious and adding another QB there. You can't do it. You're going to have to get safety help, tight end help, linebacker help, offensive line help, maybe receiver help, maybe quarterback help. You can't be wasting a spot on a QB, Joe. You can't do it.
But Paul, it's expensive. There was nothing in the backup quarterbacks this year. And down the line, if we would lose Nassib, I said we would have to pay backup money for him if he shows something good. And we won't keep him, and then we won't have nobody. And we could have had this rookie here because look at what they pay to move up to get these quarterbacks. What they cost.
First of all, Matt Schaub just signed with the Ravens, and I thought that he was a decent veteran backup, and I thought a lot of teams probably should have looked at him. You could always try to get one of those guys. Joe, I'm going to let you go, but let's
right.
just hope that
have
Eli's healthy
nice
for another 5 years.
Paul.
Thank you. You too, Joe. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, look, in a perfect world, Eli's going to be the starter for another 5 years. You won't have to worry about that. I do appreciate his thought about looking ahead. I just think right now, given the priorities of this team and where it stands, you can't be going for a backup quarterback in the draft now. Just not going to work. And besides, quite frankly, as we talked with Anita yesterday, the transition from Kerry Collins to Eli Manning, well, that took a year, and the Giants went out and got Kurt Warner to bridge the gap. I mean, you can always figure something out if you get into a bind like that. Randy from Long Island, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hey, thank you for having me again.
Thank you.
How you doing today, Paul? You doing good?
Oh, beautiful day outside. 60 degrees and sunny. I'm loving it. I got a quick Nike
you
in.
The weather now.
Got a quick Nike in this morning.
What's going on? Number one, I totally agree with the first caller about the offensive line. 100%. I want Sheriff just like you do.
Yeah.
I think that's the main move. Also, I just want to point out to you, too, I did some research on that guy, Kenny Bell. The wide receiver you were talking about.
Yeah.
We got to get that guy in the third or fourth round.
You like him, right? You like him.
Elusive.
Yeah.
Maybe needs to gain a little bit more weight. Reminds me of Victor Cruz-esque. Okay.
I don't want to go there.
I don't want to go there,
Randy, because that's a lot of pressure to put on a kid, and I don't want to compare him like that. Until I see him. You know what? Here's what I'm going to say. The tapes look good, and I always tell you, believe what you see. You know, Entre Roll used to say that too. Believe what you see. The tapes look good, and I know where you're going with that. But until I get to see this guy in person and practice every day, I don't want to be putting a label like that on him. But I got to tell you.
Also, another thing.
I would love to see him.
I want Sheriff. I want Brandon Sheriff 100%, and that's at 9. And if we get him, I'm seeing this new mock draft. You know, great. If not... again, I agree with the offensive line. This is what we do. And this is, I know Cole's been calling up. This is my opinion.
All right, now, whoa, strike that. You're telling me Scherf is gone at nine? You're telling me Scherf is gone? You're going to give me another scenario?
If there's a possibility. Listen, if we get him, that's the guy that I want.
Right.
But if he's gone,
okay.
This is what we do. I know it's going to be hard for Jerry Reese to go out there and trade down. I know it's going to be because, to me, that's not something that I think he's going to do. I think he'll take best available. But what you said, you got to be fielding the phone calls. So if you're going to be fielding these phone calls and you're going to and I think that the Browns are the perfect candidate. They're at 12. You go like this. You make the get the extra pick, and then after that you get Lyell because you said if Scherf is off the board. So you get Lyell at 12, which is your number two guy.
He is my number two.
I know that you like him behind and over Pete, which I do too. I think he's more of a more upside with him. And then after that, I want you to take a look at this guy. Because there's this one guy that I've been taking a look at, and I watched some film on him, and I know the callers will appreciate this. Cody Pruitt, okay, safety, okay, out of Old Miss. This kid looks like Troy Polamalu.
Who out of Old Miss? You know, I'm going to tell you.
I want to know what you think.
I will investigate him. I don't have him listed on any of my notes as a guy to look at. Is he a free or a strong?
What did you say?
Is he a free safety or a strong safety?
I believe he's a strong.
Oh.
I think he'd be able to play both.
The Mississippi kid. I'm sorry.
This guy looks like he is, to me, and I know the callers are going to do research on this, which is something, but this guy reminds me of Troy Polamalu-esque. You definitely got to film me back after you do a little bit of research.
Yeah, no.
I
know
and,
you mean.
Tell me what you think.
Some of these guys, I must confess to you, because I don't broadcast their games, obviously. I don't know how they pronounce some of their names, and I don't know if it's Pruitt. I thought it was Pruitt. You're telling me Pruitt. You said Pruitt, and I'm thinking like Greg Pruitt, the former back from the Browns years ago. You know what I'm saying? Pruitt. I'm like, I don't know him. I think it's Pruitt, but I could be wrong.
In any event,
I'm familiar with him. Here's the problem as I see it. And when I did a lot of my sketch-ups and when I did my clusters and I started then narrowing the guys down into my clusters, the problem with him that I see is that I think he's not, to me, graded high enough to be a high second rounder, which is where the Giants are going to pick. Now, if they do a deal like you said, move down a few spots and then gain an extra second rounder later on in the round, I could see it. Because I think he is a probably mid to late second round pick. He won't be there by the time the Giants come up in the third round. I don't see any way that's possible. And I just don't think he's a high enough guy to draft with the Giants' second-round pick, which is at 40. He's going to probably go somewhere in the vicinity of 55, 60. So,
The kid's a monster. I know. I can see him.
He's got no question.
I have a feeling about this kid. I'm looking forward to seeing some of his tape in the future.
I agree with you. I think he's a player, but I think I think what's happening here, and you got to be careful about this, and I warn you because, look, we all fall into the trap. But, Randy, when you look at that value and need component, I think in this particular case, you're sensing that need component a little bit higher than the value component because I think he's a good prospect, but I don't think he's worth the 40th pick. And that's where you kind of get out of balance with the need and the value.
So
it's like, what do you do?
So here's a question. Who do you – in this, let's say that is the case. Second-round pick comes along. We got a second-round pick. Who do you feel – what's that ideal player? And I know you mentioned the kid from Florida State. But who's that next kid?
Following
all these kids. Who's the next kid that you think in the second round that's going to go out there and get that value and also that need that you're talking about? I'd like to hear your opinion on that.
I got P.J. Williams as an absolute value need guy right in that vicinity. I think he should be in the cluster. Now, if you're going to use him at free safety, that's fine. It's a little bit of a projection, but, boy, he looks like he can play it. And he had he shows all the requisite skills to be a free safety. I'll tell you somebody else in the defensive backfield who I have listed on my sheet, in my scratch sheet here. Quentin Rollins from Miami of Ohio. He's a corner, and he has value right there in that area. And, boy, I'll tell you what, I know he's not a safety, but this kid could really, really add depth at corner for the Giants, and I think you would agree with me. Look, even if you think McBride's going to stay healthy and be the third corner, they're going to need a fourth. You absolutely right. need depth at corner. I could see, if you want to go secondary, I could see Quentin Rollins being that guy at that pick at 40.
Right, that's why I know you've been mentioning Trey Weans. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem, but they go out there and grab that kid. I have no problems with that.
You,
I know
you like his tape. He's
the
good.
The one thing, obviously, I feel that Sheriff, you know, obviously he looks like a giant. But I agree with you with the Trey Weans. And one last thing.
I was going to give
this
you.
This is all I'm going
to
say. Randy, I'm
going to give you one more name.
This, you can enjoy your nice long weekend.
I'll give you one more name. I'll give you one more name.
Couple of days.
Third round. Randy.
All these guys on the IR last year. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's bottom line is we were injury bugged last season. Is this? And you don't have to go off the you don't have to go off the rock when I say this. But do you think possibly Tom Coughlin and maybe they go that maybe they're working these guys too hard in practice OTAs? I mean, is that the case? Because there was a lot of guys that were injured. I mean, last year.
Are
we working these guys too hard prior to on the Coughlin like a drill instructor?
No,
to get us in that position.
Randy, the CBA is very, very specific about what you can and cannot do with these guys physically. So that's not the issue. I wish I could tell you. Coach wishes he could tell you. I don't know that anybody knows the answers other than John Mara is right. Over the last 2 years, the Giants have been the most injured team in the National Football League, and it has definitely impacted their one-loss record. No one's going to deny that. How do you get healthier? You know, sometimes you just got to get lucky. I'll say this as I let you go. You remember when they beat the Patriots in Super Bowl 42?
Yes.
Okay. Did you know that the morning of that game, I remember doing the pregame show. I was doing a live hit outside the stadium on MSG, Bob Papa hosting our show, Giants opening drive live. And my hit that morning for him was going into that kickoff was the first time all season that Tom Coughlin had 53 healthy bodies to choose from as he tried to come up with his inactive list. That never happens, ever. But here it was, from opening day, he had at least one guy injured on his 53 that could not play, and then going into that Super Bowl, he had the full 53 at his disposal. It was a miracle. Sometimes Lady Luck's just got to help you, man. That's the way it goes.
Thank you,
Randy. Thank you
again for having me on. I appreciate the talk. Well, listen, have a nice Easter, and
you
tell DeMontre Moore to start working out with JPP at 5:30 every day at practice in the facility. This way, we could get him on the same page. Can you try to get that done for me?
All right, I'll let him know. Thanks, Randy.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you for having me. Have a great weekend.
Appreciate it. You too. Now, hey, folks, I'm going to give you one other name. Again, corner/safety prospect. He was asking me, Randy was, for a second rounder. I'm going to give you a third rounder. Alex Carter out of Stanford, 6 feet, 196, runs a 4.5, plays more zone. And I think a lot of people are projecting he may not be a corner, but he may be a really good safety in this league. I think he fits to the Giants early in the third round as a guy, if you're looking for a defensive back and specifically somebody who could help play safety, again, there's a guy corner by trade, and there's a projection he might be a safety in the NFL. That's Alex Carter out of Stanford. I could see him early third round as somebody that you might want to be taking a look at. AJ from North Carolina, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. By the way, 201-939-4513. Go ahead. How are you? Good to talk to you.
What'd you have for us today,
AJ?
I got a question about the safety position. They need to add a veteran safety or somebody.
Well, I think, and you're kind of breaking up, so we're going to let you go, but I will answer your question. The Giants need a veteran safety, you're saying. I think Stevie Brown is more than likely going to be that guy. Coming off of the Lisfranc Frank at the end of last season, you remember he got hurt, had the procedure, and is rehabbing right now. He is out of the boot, and he is doing well from what I understand. And I believe that sometime after the draft, as we get closer to training camp, the Giants and him will have a sit-down and a conversation. And I think everybody is of the intent that Stevie Brown will come back and be part of the Giants' safety depth chart during the course of the season. Okay, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Sam from D.C. You are next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hey, how's it going, Paul? How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Hey, doing great. And wasn't too happy about the record last year, but boy, it's good to finally pick early. You know, I know in previous drafts, you're sitting there and the second round comes around, second day, and you're like, boy, I can't believe some of these names are still on the board.
Right.
But in previous drafts, we've had to wait, and a lot of those guys then come off the board, and then you're not as excited by the third and fourth round, you know, at least as a fan, because, of course, those guys, we don't get that deep in the draft as you guys do.
Well, you know, here's the one thing that, you know, Jerry Reese tells us each and every year. You know, you don't want to be picking up that high because it means you had a bad year the year before, and I understand that, and then he chuckles about it, and everybody laughs. But you know what? The truth of the matter is, you know, when the Giants have had their nice runs, 6, 7, 8 years, 9 years, 10 years of when they were contenders, or at least a playoff team for most of those seasons, they'd be picking down in the 20s. And, you know, I got to tell you, it's funny because as much as people love to talk about and project who the number one pick is going to be, you can sense how much heat there is and how much more excitement or enthusiasm there is when the guys are going to be a top 10. I mean, clearly, like last year, Beckham was a 12. There was a ton of talk about that pick. There's a ton of talk about this pick at number 9. When you're talking about a pick that's like 25 or 22, you know, people are into it, but the fans in general aren't as excited about it because they probably figure, look, either we can't guess who the guy's going to be or the guy we want is going to be gone. But I think, you tell me if I'm right as a fan, you think at number 9, you got a pretty good chance to get the guy you want.
Agreed, and in particularly, I think that we're going to have an opportunity to get value with a need, and definitely, we need to shore up the line. I agree with the first caller. I mean, if Eli's not in the game, if he's gone for the season or for a couple of games, that could be it for our opportunities to make the playoffs this year. But I flip it on the defensive side, Paul, I don't think you're a big fan of this safety class that's coming out this year.
It's not a very good safety class. Let's make something very, very clear. It's not a good year to go into the draft looking for one. Now, obviously we all know about the Bama kid, Collins. We get that. I don't think personally he's a top 10 guy. So I don't think the value meets need there. That's why I would not take him. Now, if the Giants were to drop back significantly, you know, maybe you would, but I just don't think the value meets need at number 9. And as we discussed, I'm going through some of my scratch notes, and I'm saying to myself, there are a ton of second and third round corners you can get, including a couple of guys who can convert to safety, or at least it looks like they can. I think you're better off with a PJ Williams, or even, like I said, Alex Carter in the third round. I think you're better off with one of those guys than you are drafting a pure college safety right now because that crop is just not very good.
When you're scouting these guys, I mean, what are you looking for? Are you looking for a guy that does well more in zone, or are you looking for a guy who is a bit more stouter at the point of attack? What kind of things are you looking for that kind of tell you this guy can do the transition from corner to safety?
Well, what I look for when I'm looking at the cut-ups, I'm trying to picture what would I do if I were Steve Spagnuolo in this case, or in years before Perry Fuel. I'm the defensive coordinator, and this is the kind of stuff I like to run. I want to run. So now, can this guy do that? And where the problem comes in, you're watching his college cut-ups, and maybe they don't run that. And you don't get the opportunity to see. For example, the Giants with Spags, they're going to want to run a lot of man-to-man stuff. Okay? Now, what if you're watching cut-ups on a guy, and his college program plays zone, and they're giving cushion?
Agreed.
And now they're not playing a lot of one-on-one. And maybe they're not doing any bump-and-run press coverage at the line. And it's like, okay, now, can the player do it? Or is it simply that he wasn't asked to do it because the college coach didn't have that in his repertoire? That's where it gets tricky. And that's why this is all subjective. Because sometimes you can't see what you want to see or what you need to see. And now you have to project and say, well, look, he seems to really have good recognition skills. He looks like he turns his hips and he's very fluid. He looks like he follows the ball well. It looks like he's physical enough with the receiver downfield that even if he was playing cushion and zone, when he does mix it up with the receiver, he seems to have really good aggressiveness and physicality and strength about him. I think he can play press coverage. I don't know if I've explained that to you as clearly as I'd like to, but that's the kind of thing I'm talking about.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. And in particular now with these hybrid tight ends, are you looking for a guy that can come down and kind of, you know, cover a guy, bump and run with some of these guys who are pretty much bigger size wide receivers, so to speak, tight ends?
Well, you got two ways you can approach it. If you're looking for a guy who's going to primarily be responsible for that duty, you got two ways you can go. You can either go for a guy who seems to have much more cover skills and has some length on him, because chances are that receiving tight end is going to have some length. So he's got to be able to compete. Or you're looking for a guy who's really strong and physical and wants to mix it up and scrap. And he's going to give that a tight end a well of a tough time trying to find the openings and getting into his routes. So you got to. So it's like, well, what do you want now? You know, what are the traits that you're most interested in based on what you know the coordinator is going to want to do? Or for that matter, sometimes it also has to do with what the team makeup is. Because let's say, you know that you have a cover corner on the other side of the field who's a lockdown guy. Well, now, if I know that, well, now I know that my safeties maybe don't have to be as good cover guys. They can be more zone guys. Because yeah. I know I got a lockdown guy. There's a lot of stuff that goes into this. This is why I spend hours and hours, and I only get like 2 hours of sleep a night during this time. This is tough. It's not easy.
Yeah, and you know what? I tell you what. Yeah, I mean, hey, those guys at least do a very, very good job at what they do from a Giants perspective. I mean, I like the guys that we've picked. But I guess my final question to you is to throw in a dark horse here. I was seeing Bucky Brooks' pro comparison of your guy, who you absolutely love, and I'm joking, Jameis Winston.
Okay.
And his pro comparison of this guy was Eli Manning. I mean, fair or not so fair, and why do you believe that? And thanks for the show.
Okay.
I'll listen to your comments off.
Appreciate the phone call. I don't see that comparison at all. To me, Winston looks like a bit more of an athlete than Eli, potentially a bit stronger, per se, especially when he fills out and he becomes mature. I mean, they can both make all the throws, but I mean, I if you're just talking about physical traits, I mean, you know, Winston's pretty cut. You know, a little more of an athlete, per se, than what Eli is. But I will say this. I don't like Winston's game on the move very much, and I'm not a big fan of having Eli on the move either. So, you know, if you want to talk about the fact that both guys have really good arms and they can both make all the throws and they can both be pocket passers, you know, I'll give you a check off on those comparisons. But otherwise, no, I'm not gonna go any further than that. So, hey, that's why it's all subjective. 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat. Greg is telling me we should get a couple Twitter comments in here, so let's get a look, see what we have. Let's see here. Charlie G, with Jennings turning 30, do we pick up a top running back with top three picks? I don't think so. I think that, you know, Jennings, with all the injuries that he's had, and you could argue this because he's had injuries all the time, you got to get somebody else. Well, I think that's why they've got Andre Williams here. Vereen can run the ball if necessary. I think we talked about that with Anita yesterday. They also still have Darkwa coming back to training camp. And I'm going to tell you something. I've told you this before earlier in the offseason. I don't think Dark was a bad player. I think he's got some skills now. As the fourth running back, so to speak, going into training camp, I think he's pretty good. So I would say no. I would not draft a running back. We have Vin Bonelli says, hey, Paul, do you think we're going to see more and more converted corners playing safety in the NFL? Do you think this is a trend? Well, again, I think it depends on the style of safety you want. Are you more interested in that cover safety who's going to just have ball hawking skills and be able to cover these receiving tight ends man-to-man, or are you looking to play more physical? And the, quote, big nickel, as a lot of people like to call it, where that dime linebacker is really an extra strong safety, and he's more of a hitter and a jammer, and he's just going to give fits to that tight end before he catches the ball, before the ball gets out there. He's going to try to screw up his game that way. I think that's again, what is your preference in terms of your dynamic? So that's something you got to think about. Let's see here. We have Nick Criscolo says, large contingency of Giants decision makers at the U Pro Day. Flowers, Perryman, Dorsett. You know what? I have not seen the reports coming out of the Miami Pro Day. Now, Flowers, what did I write about Flowers? Again, I got a lot of my scrap notes here because I would never bring all my stacks and stacks of stuff down here. What I had on Flowers was knee, question mark, late first rounder, and question marks about his balance. But I do know most people do think he's a late first round pick. Now, if you're the Giants and you're at 9, the value doesn't meet need there. Now, potentially, if for some reason he drops to 40 early in the second round and, you know, you haven't taken an offensive tackle, well, now the need is certainly still there, and the value certainly is going to still be there at 40 if he should drop that far. Let's see here. Jacopo Orlati says, do you think this is just misfortune and a coincidence, nothing to do with bad free agent signings? I guess he's talking about the injuries that the Giants have suffered over the last couple of years. You know, I'll be honest, I just don't know. I mean, I don't have any medical training. And so, you know, the one thing Tom Coughlin talks about is you have your soft tissue injuries, okay? Then you have your hard physical injuries, you know, your broken bones, your fractured bones, you know, ligament damage as opposed to just muscle things. And it's like you try to figure it out. It's like, well, we thought we got that solved, but now we're getting these other kinds of injuries. Tom Coughlin is as perplexed about this as anybody else is. And, you know, he doesn't like injuries, but they happen, and you're forced to admit it sometimes. So that's all I could tell you on that. BBN Uncensored wants me to take a look at offensive lineman Sean Hickey out of Syracuse. Don't remember scratching him down as one of the guys I wanted to talk about in the show. I will have to go back and take a look, but I tell you what, I promise you, I will dig into him. Let's see here. Elo H says, I take Sheriff first round at a linebacker from the U. He wants Perryman in round two. I understand the need. The other Twitter person also mentioned Perryman, and I appreciate that. I understand the need and the desire for a player of that ilk. I want to look at his time. They got him at 4.68. Now, again, you folks know I don't stress combine times an awful lot. I think you have to believe what you see. Perryman, I had him down in my database as a third rounder. Now, I don't know. Are you guys thinking more you want him in the first or second? I'm not so sure I go there. I think he's more like a mid to late third round pick for me. But, you know, and again, you know, question is he's going to be inside or outside? Where would you want to play him? Because they're listing him at 5'11", and a lot of times that is a problem. Again, there are exceptions. But a lot of times at 5'11", middle linebacker, if that's what you're projecting, I'm guessing you guys want him to probably be backing up Beeson. You're looking for some help there, knowing that Beeson's got injury issues, I'm guessing. Again, we probably need more discourse on this. But, yes, solid prospect. Good player, could understand why you'd like him. I don't think I'd go higher than third round, though. Okay, let's see who else we have here. We have BBN saying that Prewitt is a free safety, not a strong. Well, in the Giants system, you know, they'll play left-right a lot. And Spags will flop him, much like Fuel did. You know, you'll be doing different responsibilities at all times. You have to be able to play both. Of course, it depends on the skill set of the guys. Now, the thing about Prewitt, let me go back to his numbers in terms of his combine numbers. See, my problem with him and the reason that I haven't done a lot of extra scratch work is because I don't think he fits where the Giants are in the draft. You see, part of what I do, folks, is that when I put the first group of guys together and then I start to narrow it down and I talk to people around the league and I get an idea of realistically who might be at least available, at least in that third of the draft, you know, like in the top third of the round or the bottom third of the round. And it's like, okay, look, if there's really not much of a chance to him to be in the vicinity of the Giants, I don't do as much work on him because I figure the odds aren't as good. Not that I ignore the guy, but I don't do as much. And that's pretty much the case with the Mississippi safety because the way I see it, okay, the way I see it is that he's not going to be there. He's just not going to be there. I mean, I think, you know, by the time the Giants get to the third round, he's gone. And he's not a top 40 pick. So, but I appreciate, look, 6'2", that they're listing him at 6'2", 208, and they're saying 4'6". You know, personally, I'd rather have P.J. Williams at a Florida State at the 40 pick and in the second round. That's where I'd go, personally, if it were me. A couple more tweets, I guess. Let's see here. Charlie G, I like Prewitt in late rounds. Again, you know, we talked about that. Nick Roscolo, watching Prewitt all year. Good call. Team Ruiz says, in Jerry Reach, we trust. Okay. Easy says, speaking about tight ends, why haven't we heard much about the tight end prospect? Nick Boyle from Delaware, solid blocker and receiver. I have done work on him. I agree with you. I think he's a legit prospect. But the tight end grouping as a whole, not high picks. These guys are middle to late round guys. And as I looked at Boyle, I'd like to see more out of him as a blocker. I wonder if at our level, the NFL level, he's going to be able to do it. Remember, Delaware is a 1AA program. And so as an FCS program, he is making a jump up. Guys are bigger, stronger, faster, quite a bit when you come up to the NFL level. And so I have some issues, or not issues, but questions about his blocking ability and effectiveness as he makes the jump up. But I do agree with you. He's got size. He's got a good skill set. He could certainly get the ball. He'd be a guy you'd want to think about later on in the draft. I would agree with that. Vincius Bonelli, do you like Scherf more than Collins at number 9? Listening to the show from Brazil. Vinicius Bonelli, how about that? Well, hola to you. And for sure, I'm a sheriff guy. If you listened to the show before, you know I am. The Giants need a new sheriff in town. Yeah, that was really bad, but I had to throw it out there. Chris says, could you see our backup quarterback involved in a trade? I don't think so. I think, as I said before, the Giants have a lot of confidence in Nassib off of what they saw at practice during his second season. Also had a really good preseason last year, too. So I think they're very good with him being the number 2 to Eli. Patrick Kiernan says, with the Giants draft a long snapper in one of the late rounds, so we have a backup for Diasi. He's getting up in age. You know, Zach over the course of time has had some periodic back issues. But as far as I know, he's still good to go, and you guys know long snappers can last for a long time. So, look, they always want to have somebody ready to do it if need be. Mark Herzlich, as a matter of fact, is the Giants' backup long snapper right now. No, I would not draft one. Those guys you can get as undrafted rookie free agents if you're really looking for somebody. Also wants to know, if the Lions get tweaked some of this draft, the Giants will be a legit competitor for the playoffs, I would guess 9 or 10 wins. Well, I agree with you that there are a few players short right now. But if they get the right few players, I do think the Giants are in the playoff conversation. I think they're close enough. Okay, Timothy Gadsden says, do you think Bennett Jackson can be a starter at safety for the Giants? Boy, I liked this kid last year when he got here. You know, I really did. Microfracture knee surgery. Supposedly coming along well. I haven't talked to the trainers or the doctors. I don't have firsthand medical reports. But I have read articles that indicate from his hometown that he is doing well and rehabbing effectively. I do think, as Tom Coughlin mentioned him, in fact, the other day at the owners' meetings, he's a guy who's going to get some consideration. You know, maybe his skill set, I believe he certainly has it, can transfer to safety, provided he's healthy enough and capable of doing the job and that knee holds up and he really hasn't lost anything with his legs. So, yeah, keep him in mind. You know, definitely keep him in mind. Let's see here. And Joe says, want to see more play action pass, but you have to make the opposing defense respect the run, something we haven't done in 2 years. I've said this a billion times. A consistent power running game is your best friend. Nothing else needs to be said. Okay. Why don't we get back to the phone calls, because I know people are on the line. Is that Roldy from New York? You are next on Big Blue Kickoff Live at 201-939-4513. Hello, how are you?
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Good to talk to you.
Listen, Paul, did you listen to what Jerry Reese said?
When?
On his last interview. If he has a playmaker and an offensive lineman, he's going to go with a playmaker. Did you hear that part?
So sure. I was at that presser.
Go from a guy, Mr. Sheriff in town, instead of going with a playmaker via a wide receiver or if it's a defensive end.
Well, you know, he did that last year because Zach Martin was next on the board and Odell Beckham falls out of the sky and he had to take him.
So it seems to me, if it was up to you, Paul, if you were the GM or whatever you were, the scouting guy, for the first four rounds, you go to offensive lineman. You're just so in love with offensive lineman. You got a guy in Sheriff that everybody's projecting. If you pick him, he's going to be better suited as a guard. Why would I want to pick a nice pick a guy that they're projecting to be a guard and plug him in when I know there's a pretty decent depth as guard in the draft that you can get in the third round. Why would I want to waste my nice pick on a guy that I'm going to pick that he's not even a tackle?
Well, see,
and if you still have Amari Cooper still up there, and you still have a guy like Alvin Dupree and everything, or Sheldon, of course, I'm going to go with Sheldon or one of those guys instead of going with Sheriff if they're predicting for him to be a guard. Why would I want to do that I know I can get a guard in the third round?
Here's the thing.
I don't understand it.
Not everybody says Sheriff is a guard. There are a lot of people who are, but there are a lot of people who also think he's a tackle.
The analysts on NFL Network that's what they're saying, though. That's what they're saying.
I don't have...
I know you're so in love with this guy, but come on, man. You're telling me if no Sheriff, you don't pick Sheriff, there's nothing. Are you kidding me? Are you seriously kidding me? And then what's this thing that's going on, Trey Waynes? When did he become a top 10? What the heck is going on here? When did he become a top 10 pick?
Oh, he's a very talented player.
Nice pick.
Very
nice
talented
pick.
Player.
The guy is projected. He's projected as the top 20th pick. What is going on here? He's a top 10 pick.
All I'm saying to you is that if they went there, I would not be blown away by it. I didn't say I'd pick him. Okay, because I'm taking Sheriff. I told you that.
Away.
I'm taking Sheriff.
If the guy's not a top 10 pick, I would be blown away.
Here's the thing. None of us know who's going to be available when that number 9 pick comes. And everything that we say is based on what we think that the Coopers and the Whites and the Sheltons and the Winstons, we think that those guys are going to be gone by the time the Giants get to 9. So to me, it's almost a moot point to talk about the Amari Coopers of the world or to talk about the Sheltons of the world.
You also said the other day that if Sheriff is possibly gone, I'm gonna pick up the phone. Let's trade back. But if you still have a guy like Alvin Dupree, you still have Sheldon still there. Why the heck would I move back for?
I don't think Sheldon's gonna be there at 9. You do?
Well, what if he's
there?
Too
good.
What if somebody does end up picking your guy, Mr. Sheriff in town? They pick up early. and Sheldon is still there. Why would I want? Why would the Giants want to move back? Did they do that last year?
Well,
when you were
here's
throwing
what
love with Zach Martin,
if you listen,
they didn't do Zach last. You know what they said?
Well, they had to take back.
We got Vitino. You do what you do. I'm the GM. I'm gonna work with my scouts. I'm gonna let that offensive line that's projected to be a guard. I'm gonna stay away from him, and I'm gonna take the playmaker. And look what the playmaker did for us.
Beckham was awesome.
I mean, come on.
But you know why? But you know why? You know what makes the Beckham pick better? It makes it better because they wound up getting Richburg in the second round and addressed the offensive line there. You know,
yeah,
had
they
left,
pick up,
had they
pick
left,
guy,
had,
though. That's what I'm saying, though, Paulie. The guy that you were sweating the whole last year.
Oh,
Zach Martin.
Love Zach Martin.
I'm old school. I've been with the Giants for 33
love
years.
Him.
I know people that
love
didn't pick Zach Martin last
love
year.
Love him.
Because you know why? They knew they were picking the 12th pick. They knew that the guy is going to be a better suited as a guard. So I'm not going to waste the top 12 pick and pick a guy that's projected to be a guard and leave a playmaker on the board.
We're going to let you go.
I'm telling you, if you got a guy a playmaker, I don't care if it's and with this saying that I think we're pretty set on defense. Come on, we're gonna put our eggs in Kendrick Ellis that the Giants just signed. When he barely played last year, he played a few snaps last year. I mean, you know, Robert Ayers is coming off of injury. We don't know how he's going to be. Yes, he had a good season.
We're going to let you go. Whoa. I got other people coming. Greg, he's got to go. Bye. We got to let you go. I'm sorry. You're rambling a little too long. I'm with you. I understand you 1,000%. You want to get the best player available, which the Giants usually do. Okay, especially if you're picking at 9. Now, if Scherf is not there, what I have said is that I would field phone calls. I didn't say I'd make a trade. I said I would field phone calls and perhaps go down as far as 13. Perhaps. Because I still think that by moving only down 4 spots, you could still get a big-time major league impact player and maybe add yourself some extra value, because I think that there's going to be a bunch of teams that are targeting certain guys that are going to want to come up, and they'll probably want to overpay in terms of picks. So you owe it to yourself to listen to those phone calls. I never said I'm absolutely trading down. Nobody ever wants to. You'd be foolish to do that. What I'm telling you is you got to listen to the phones and see if somebody's willing to overpay and you want to move down just a few spots and take advantage of them overpaying. I got no problem with that. That's all I'm saying. And in terms of Beckham last year, boy, he fell out of the sky. He never should have been there at 12. We all know that. But he was there. And so what happens? You move off of Zach Martin and you say, we got to take this guy because he is really, really special. And they took him. But you know what? They went and got that offensive lineman in round 2 because they know that there was value and need there, and it met. That's the way it works. All right. Who do we have here? Is this Patrick?
Yep.
Patrick, go ahead. You're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Parker.
Parker is next on the show. Hello.
Hi. If you listen to some of these names I'm about to read off, Manning, Jennings, Green, Williams, Beckham, Donnell, Cruz, Randall, and Hanaski. Do you think the Giants are going to be an imitating team next year?
An intimidating team?
Yeah, intimidating.
Well, here's other teams. Look, I'll tell you this. Based on what we've seen from the Giants' offense last year, they could do some things. Okay? They could do some things. But until they get that offensive line fortified to the point where they've got a consistent power running game, they will not be nearly as forceful of an offensive attack as they could be. That's the only way you're going to reach your full potential. Let's go back to the phones and Daryl from New Jersey. You're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Hi. Good to talk to you.
Actually, you stole my thunder when you kind of just talked about the phone activity that the Giants might have at 9, so I'm going to switch gears for a second. The one thing that concerns me, Paul, in terms of actually looking at 2016, is maybe Jerry boxed himself into a corner. He's got 3 prime guys going into free agency. That's Eli, which I think we all agree would be extended. But then he's also got JPP, and he's got Amukamara. I think it's fair to say he's going to lose at least one of those two guys, JPP and Umukamara, well, if he doesn't extend them.
Remember, he could franchise JPP a second straight year if he wants to, and they still have the transition tag. So there are some, I don't want to use the word handcuffs, but there are some mechanisms he's got that he won't be caught without anything. He's got some ability here to do a couple of things if he wants to.
I agree. I just think he's going to lose one of them. You know, even with the tag on JPP, which is going to be higher than what it is this year, obviously,
sure,
right?
Sure,
I think, so,
no doubt.
And Umukamara, even if he has, you know, a marginal year, I think there's such a premium on cornerback that somebody's going to go out there and overpay for him. So, you know, that's the one thing that kind of concerns me is that he just kind of – he's letting a couple of key guys go into their walk year without extent. Now, obviously, there's so much that could happen between now and September.
A lot can happen between now and then. A lot. And so
right.
I think part of what you want to remember here is that I think that the talks with Eli will start to come to fruition after the draft. There's no impetus right now to be doing it because there's no free agent out there they're going to grab. They don't need the money right now. I think what will happen is that will be the next thing on board after the draft. Now, once you do that and you get some of that stuff squared away and his numbers all in line with where you want them to be and you save some money on this year's cap, now if you want to go to Prince, maybe you do him second before opening day. That could happen too. It wouldn't shock me if that went down. So there's a lot of things here that can happen over the course of time. And in addition to that, again, there's the franchise second year for JPP if they wanted, and there's also the transition. So I wouldn't panic over that yet.
Okay. And I'll leave you with this and I'll hang up.
Sure.
Are we going to hear from Spagnuolo? I mean,
yes.
I know they did that with McAdoo once he was hired. I'd just be interested to see if there's any sort of...
I have been told at some point during the rookie minicamp, after the draft, Steve Spagnuolo will have his first media availability since he's returned to the Giants. And I guarantee you, you know, we'll have that up on Giants.com. And, you know, I don't know if he's going to make the rounds on the radio, whether it's FAN or et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, Giants.com will definitely have that when he does his media avail during the rookie minicamp.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
All right, appreciate it. Have a good holiday. Let's see here. Robert from Atlanta, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hello there. How you doing?
All right. How are you?
Very good. Love your show.
Appreciate it.
I got a couple questions for you. What do you think of Jake Fisher?
Mm-hmm. Very interesting name. In fact, it's somebody who I've had a lot of people talk to me about. Problem is, I've got him as a second rounder. Notes that I wrote to myself. Left tackle as a senior. Seam as a right tackle. I wrote down fierce, but needs more power. Projecting possibly as a guard. And has some trouble with penalties. Because he occasionally gets sloppy and then winds up committing penalties to try to overcome his problems. I do see him as a potential second-round pick. He's certainly, if they don't get an offensive lineman in the first round, he's going to be one of the guys that they might want to consider in the second because, again, the value is down at that point, but it may also meet the need.
Quick question for you, if I might. If the Giants, and I've heard you say this before, and I'm kind of on the same page with you, you know, going from 9 to 13, if they would do that, does that entitle them to a second, a third rounder? How does that typically work from your experience?
There's a NFL draft value chart, which you can look up on Google. I'm going to, you know, pick it up right here. Many of the draft sites have it. It's based off the old Jimmy Johnson point system of assigning a point value to each draft pick in the draft. And then what you do is with the corresponding picks – you add up the point totals, and that gives you the general ballpark of what you might be able to do. So now, if you're the Giants and you're at 9, the value's approximately, again, this is always approximated, they say it's 1,350 points. If you move down to 13, it's 1,150 points, so that's approximately 200 points, which would mean you could get a pick somewhere in the vicinity of the low teens in the third round. Just based on the mathematics. But if you're dealing with first-round picks, you can usually jack that up and get a little bit more of a premium than what the mathematics say. In addition to that, you could also throw in conditionals where you say, okay, it's a three, but a conditional two if the guy does this or this. You know, there are ways you can definitely change that or alter that a little bit. The other thing you have to keep in mind, you could always swap and say, okay, listen, I'll give you a one and maybe my five, but now you got to give me your one and your two. So you can always find ways to make that happen. The other thing I would add to you is, in terms of the chart, again, it's kind of like, it's not exact science. So look at it. It's on many of the draft sites. It'll give you somewhat of an idea, but it's not to be ruled as a Bible, so to speak.
Right. Paul, do you love any middle-round wide receivers for the Giants?
Yeah, well, we've been talking about the Afro guy from Nebraska. And let me give you a couple quick things here just before I go.
Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, Kenny Bell from Nebraska. I got him as a fourth rounder. I got Chris Conley out of Georgia. You know, third or fourth, I'm not sure exactly where he's going to fall because now he's run a 4.35 and has 40. So his stock is starting to go up now. But that'd be another guy I would take a look at if you know, you really wanted to go receiver on the second or third or maybe, second or third day. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. All right, anybody else, Greg? We got somebody left? We got one more left real quick. Danny, you're next on the program. Final caller on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good, thanks. A couple of things. First, I wanted to talk about the strategy of going down of trading down.
Okay.
And I know you're in favor of going down 12, 13.
I would listen. I didn't say I was in favor of. I said I would listen and I would
okay
consider
it. If the situation,
I would consider it.
As the players are coming off the board and it works for the Giants.
You have to be flexible.
Right.
You know, you can't go into the draft with a concrete plan or you're going to wind up getting burned.
Well, absolutely. But I'm looking at this draft, and I don't think the first half of this year's first round is nearly as strong as last year. And I'm looking and thinking, you know what, I don't think the difference between 9 and even into the low 20s is that big a difference. But let's take, for argument's sake, let's say the Giants at 9, none of the players there – they think are worth the 9th pick because
right.
There aren't a lot of highly rated players,
okay.
Not nearly as many as there were last year at 9. So the Giants say, okay, you know what, we're willing to trade down. And if they were to go down to 12 or 13, let's say you get a third-round pick, and if one of the receivers is there, then that third-round pick, the price goes up for that to a second-round pick if a Cooper or the White
well, sure.
is there.
And then the other thing is if you got two or three teams on the phones – you now weigh them and leverage them against
war.
Each other, and all of a sudden, guess what? Maybe I'm getting your next year's third also. I mean, you
right.
know, get a little greedy.
Right. Right, but I'm taking it to another level because, again, I don't think there's a big difference between 9 and 22, let's say.
I do think.
If they were to trade down
go ahead.
To 12, 13, and then trade down again and get another second-round pick to 22, and that 22 isn't that far off of a player. He's still going to be a good player. But now you've got, let's say, an extra second- and third-round pick. You know how valuable that is? You think the difference between 22 and 9 is so great that
yeah,
it wouldn't
I do.
Be worth another second- and third?
Especially,
two more really good prospects.
I got to run.
Coming out with five premium picks.
I understand.
In the first three rounds as opposed to three. Is the difference between 9 and 13 that great?
They're giving me the high sign, so I'm going to let you go. And I close by making this comment to you. At some of the positions, there are plenty of make-it-grade players in the second and third rounds. At other positions, you're really asking for a reach. Remember, as Jerry Reese says, and this is not new to me now, you'd like to see your top three guys be starters as quickly as possible. You know, you'd like to at least get rotational players out of those guys in their rookie seasons, and then if not in the first year, second year, they better be starters. In some positions, like the safety spot, the pure safeties, there's not a lot there. Another position, like wide receiver, there's stuff there. So it depends on what you're looking for, what positions you're really looking to concentrate on as to whether or not you really can move down as far as you think. Anyway, great show, folks. Appreciate the hour. It's a beautiful day out here in New York City. Looking forward to getting out there and doing my Nike 5. Anyway, our number is always 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. keep it posted next to your computer so you can always join us here Monday to Friday, 12 o'clock noon Eastern Time on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Take care, everybody.
All right, here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Got through the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Want to get the punt. Broken, intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.